Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, this is Pat McAfee, and you're listening to the Complex Sports Podcast, a podcast hosted by three men who are incredibly entertaining. Their words are riveting. And if you're not listening to this, you're an absolute stooge. So be a friend, tell a friend. The Complex Sports Podcast is where it's at. Cheers.
What up, everybody? It's your man, Chops, brand new to the Complex Sports Podcast. We are back yet again, brand new week. Fellas, what's going on? As always, Zion and Adam with me. Zion, how sad are you right now?
I don't have any words.
What stage of grief are you in? Of the seven stages of grief, where are we at?
I don't have any words.
Adam, well, we need an update on your level of concern right now. How high is your level of concern?
I don't have any words. I don't.
You got to give us something here, pal.
Yeah. How do you mean you don't have any words?
I don't have any words. It is what it is.
On a scale of 1 to 10, when your level of concern, 1 being of no concern and 10 being of great astronomical concern, where are you right now on the scale?
Concern, no words, no feelings.
I'm going to take that as a 9.5.
I'm gonna say, our producer Misha said, can I read this out loud, Misha? Zion, so.
Read it out loud.
Yeah, read it.
You read it.
I'm not reading it.
All right, producer Misha said that young Zion over here needs to call out KD because he was trash in Sunday's game 4. So, young Zion, you want to respond to that comment and KD's performance?
I mean, what you want him to do?
We want to hear your opinion, pal.
He played bad, but like, were they going to win that game anyway? No.
Okay, so here's my question for you. Here's my question for you. I guess one of the dominant themes afterwards, aside from Kyrie's ankle situation, was the physical play from PJ Tucker guarding Kevin Durant. Did you feel that he went above and beyond what should be prototypical NBA defense?
I mean,
because head coach Steve Nash was a little bit critical of the aggressiveness.
Here's the thing with Steve Nash. People were like, oh, Steve Nash doesn't even believe this. Steve Nash played it was a strategic standpoint why he said that. So Tuesday night, Kevin Durant gets those calls. That was really why he called it out. I don't think it was really that he was fuming over it. Number two, PJ Tucker has been playing football all series. He's not playing basketball. Whatever he's doing on the court, that's not basketball. He's been pushing around Kevin Durant, and they haven't been calling all series. On the other end, Giannis will get a little tap on the back of his head from Joe Harris, and it's almost a flagrant. Like, this man's getting every single call that he wants. So well, I don't
it doesn't
get it.
It doesn't matter if Giannis goes to the freezer line because he's not going to make him anyways. So.
But also, in today's NBA, if you scratch a guy in the head, you get a flagrant 2 foul and get ejected.
I'm not even talking literally tapping on the head, but like, it's touchy fouls versus not touchy fouls. And I don't even understand that because Kevin Durant is a bigger star than Giannis. So that doesn't even make sense to me if we're talking about superstars getting calls.
How do you think this series is going to unfold? Where are we at right now with it?
I don't know. I mean, we don't know if magically James Harden can say, oh, let me suit up tomorrow. I mean, I doubt he plays tonight. But, I mean, we're recording this the day before.
Let me ask the question this way. What game do the Nets get eliminated in?
I'm not responding.
At least
to
you're not going that far.
Zion, I texted you this yesterday. At least you guys have a reason. At least there's a reason.
I don't care about a reason. Like, this is not supposed to happen, man.
I went through it in 2015. It sucks. Injuries suck.
I don't care what you want to do. I don't care what you. I don't need no sympathy. Let's get this out of the way. I don't need no sympathy. I don't need no cuddling. Like, no. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
We're the only ones showing sympathy because the timeline seemed downright happy when Kyrie got hurt yesterday. It was very weird.
I mean, all the MAGA people and the Boston Celtics fans, and Glenn Big Baby Davis is the biggest clown. I mean, man.
Clown of the week.
He follows Complex Sports, too. Oh, yeah, that's the clown of the week for sure. He follows Complex Sports, and I seen him in the comments. I was about to roast him from the company account, but I said, hold on, let me stop, because that is the biggest clown I've ever seen to play in the NBA. Like, you are a black man caping for a logo. A logo. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. And you're not even you're not a Celtics, right? They don't love you like that. You're not Kobe. Who are you? But anyway, continue.
I'm sorry. Misha made a good point here because everybody's talking about this. Misha said, real dogs know how to take over. I saw a lot of people talking about KD yesterday and look at KD without a super team. Is that a fair conversation to have or no?
No, it's really like, if you take that route, I'm just going to discredit your basketball knowledge or basketball takes for the rest of your life because it's stupid. Like, come on, bro. Is that what we're doing now? The whole argument.
I mean, people, I'm just going over the timeline topics from yesterday.
Even for LeBron James, when people use that argument, it's just because you're mad, you're hating for some. Like, come on, bro. You can't just expect someone to carry a team randomly with no preparation, like on the spot. And he's playing against one of the best teams in the NBA, one of the best defenses in the NBA. What do you really want him to do? If KD goes in next game without those two after a day of preparation and a day to get ready to play by himself, okay. But realistically, Joe Harris is shooting 2 for 47 every game. Mike James is playing point guard. Mike James is 5'8", bro. Come on, dog. Bruce Brown can't make a layup anymore. Like, what do you want KD to do?
How bad are those two Bruce Brown possessions looking now in game three?
I mean, I was more mad about game three than yesterday. Like, I thought game three, they should have won that game, especially after KD hit that shot. I mean,
Joe Harris missed two wide open, easy jumpers in that game, too. Like, literally, like 12 footers. He bricked them. What's up?
Joe Harris has been a joke. He's been terrible.
That's your man. Adam, you hear this? That's his man.
I'm just reveling in him just turning heel and just going completely against this. No,
I have to call it what it is. He's been a joke. Like, his man is the.
All right, let's go back to.
Go ahead.
I want to go back to your KD point, because if you are potentially a top 10 player all time in the NBA, you're going to be expected to put the team on your back and carry them in some dire situations. Obviously, we can go down the line of all the guys that have done that, whether you want to talk about MJ, whether you want to talk about Kobe, whether you want to talk about LeBron. So if KD is going to be this all-time great top 10 potential player, which we all kind of, I think, all of us agree that he is, and I think most of our listeners would also agree, then isn't he going to have to do it on his own at some point?
Why did the narrative turn into this, though? Like, this is nuts to me. Number one, once they lost James Harden, it became the Nets became underdogs, right? And KD goes out.
No.
Stop that! Don't lie. Once the Nets lost James Harden,
you are talking wild now, pal.
No, because many people picked the Bucks in six before James Harden got hurt.
Who?
Only Brandon Jennings did that.
Many people picked the Bucks in six.
I want to hear a call out these guys.
Yes. Look at all the NBA and analyst predictions. A lot of them picked Bucks in six. Okay. So if you take James Harden out of that equation, what did the first two games show you? That Kevin Durant was unstoppable. So how do we get to this point that a game four, he loses his sidekick and his role players aren't playing well at all, so he misses shots, and Kevin Durant can't carry a team. Do you know how dumb that sounds? Come on.
I'm not saying I'm not saying there aren't snippets of it that are dumb, because obviously you do need your help. You do need your teammates to come through and actually hit some shots and play off you and compliment you. But again, the, I guess, less sophisticated fan will look directly at KD and expect him to take over and put 45 up and carry the Nets across the finish line if he doesn't have anyone with him. So you understand that, though, Young Zion. It may not be fair, but you understand that.
KD is way less smoke in this situation than LeBron. If this was LeBron in this situation, LeBron would be getting lit up right now. I would say
100%,
that.
100%.
Like, KD getting off a little easy on it.
How's he getting off easy?
I mean, but here's the thing. I don't think that people should be going, like, context matters. Harden's out. He lost Kyrie. I mean, he wasn't able to get it done. I don't think it's just some super reflection on his legacy or career. But if LeBron was in the same situation, I think people. Skip Bayless has not, Adam's best friend Skip Bayless has 9 tweets ready to go about why LeBron is the biggest fraud in the world. You know,
Yeah, but I think it just comes with the territory of LeBron. LeBron is in debate for greatest of all time. Not KD's not in debate for greatest of all time. He's in the debate for maybe best player in the game today. But like,
Adam said he's top 10 all time.
Yeah, you can put him in the debate for one of the most natural best scorers in NBA history.
He's number 12 on our list.
Now he'll be top 10 guaranteed by the end of his career.
Yeah.
He should be. But like,
and he'll be considered one of the best natural scorers in NBA history. You can't argue that.
Yes. But KD is not even like, bro, it's one half. It's basically one half that everyone is basing this off of. The Nets were in that. The Nets were actually up 11 in the first half, even with KD not shooting that well. And then Kyrie gets hurt when the Bucks come back and it becomes a blowout. So we're really talking about one half.
Let's fast forward here to game five.
Yeah.
Are you expecting a Blake Griffin throwback game
what?
To save your season?
No. But I am expecting KD to drop 40 at least.
40. Oh, to carry the team.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what's so funny. I literally said
what's funny. I don't quite get the joke.
I literally just said that KD if he has a day of preparation, he has a day to prepare with the unit that he has now, I think he could be fine. He'll be able to go off.
Does that equal a Nets victory in game five though?
At home, role players play better at home, so I wouldn't be surprised. But Malky has the momentum right now, so we'll see. I don't know.
Do you think the Nets were shook from them security not being allowed to be in the arena on Sunday?
You said what?
Do you think the Nets were shook from their security not being allowed to be around the floor in the arena on Sunday?
Adam got jokes today. Adam wrote down some jokes.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that because this is just corny.
Adam wrote some jokes down.
I just want you to admit that you are a little shook right now about your Nets.
No, I don't have any feelings.
I think you do. You're just suppressing them, but it's okay.
Other big NBA thing going on right now, the Phoenix Suns. Let's take the Nets out of the equation. Let's just remove the Nets, act like they don't exist. They could win that series. They might not. Who knows? Who would you guys say is the favorite to win it all right now without the Nets in the equation? Phoenix? It has to be Phoenix, right?
The Clippers.
What?
Watch, the comeback is in the mist.
Well, we're recording this on Monday, so we have no idea how game four is going to go.
We have no idea, but I feel confident.
You would say the Clippers are the favorite over the Suns?
Yes.
Zion, what do you think?
I mean, if they get in a series, I think the Clippers could beat them. Like, but we don't know, basing off what happens Monday night.
Sorry, Young Zion, to interrupt. I have one bone to pick with a past podcast guest in Mr. Reggie Miller.
What did Reggie say?
Did you listen to the end of the broadcast with Suns Nuggets last night on Sunday night? I should say
Jokic stuff.
Not the Jokic stuff, but him just basically saying that there are people out there saying that Chris Paul should have retired years ago. Like, Reggie said that the people were saying Chris Paul should retire. No one said that. No one said that Chris Paul should be thrown to the trash. No one said that Chris Paul was absolutely completely washed.
What's the Rockets owner's name? I saw that clip. Tillman. He said that Chris Paul's contract was the worst in the history of sports, which was obviously wrong. So,
how's that John Wall deal looking for you right now?
Yeah, right. How's that looking? I think the Suns. I think I'm a Suns fan right now. I think I'm with the Suns.
They're fun to watch, and their crowd's awesome. So
they're great, but let's be real too. Like, they haven't run into anybody. I mean, injuries are part of the game, and you just have to deal with them, and you just play who you're given. But at the same time, they played a depleted Lakers team and a depleted Nuggets team. I think the Suns are great. I think they're a really great team. But we could easily see them come back to reality against a healthy Clippers.
100%. They're riding a bit of a wave of luck right now. CP3
deserves some luck, guys. CP3's had the worst playoff luck of anybody in the history of the
NBA. He has. And also, he was hurt in the first season against the Lakers. But as you alluded to earlier, Chops, context is important. Championships do require context. There is some luck involved, but luck happens in every single run. I mean, Christ, luck happens down the line for every single champion.
Legacy. What's up, Zion?
I said luck is about to save Giannis's legacy. Because they were
is it because Giannis is
25 years old? Let's relax here.
Wait, but Giannis is. I mean, if they go and say they beat the Nets, the depleted Nets, and then they lose to Philly, what is that? That doesn't do anything for Giannis.
I don't know if they lose to Philly, but like
really, I like Philly right now. I think Philly's playing great right now.
I think, and you to answer your previous question, I don't have the Suns as the favorites. Maybe the favorites out the West. But yeah. I think the winner's coming out the East this year.
So you think it's – but who would you take in a hypothetical Philly-Milwaukee series? I think Philly's playing well right now. Embiid is on another level.
I might take Philly, but, like, just the uncircumstance of Embiid, like, any time he could just –
yeah, I mean
– with this torn meniscus, I don't know. But it's hard if Milwaukee gets through this with momentum – it's hard because I think Philly will struggle to score with them. But, I mean, they have someone good for Giannis. At least Ben Simmons can, you know, handle him.
I mean,
Blake Griffin is handling him.
They should just let Ben Simmons and Giannis do a free throw competition. First one to 10 made free throws wins a series.
We'd be there all day long.
It'd take a month to get accomplished. That's interesting. I think the Suns are a lot of fun. The Suns and four guy who beat up the Nuggets fan, that was great. Like, I think the Suns are riding, you know, certain momentum, and everybody gets lucky. Every single championship team gets some sort of luck.
What is it about Denver sports? Because we saw that old guy get knocked out in the Rockies game. Like, what is it about the Denver fandom this year where people are just getting the shit kicked out of them in arenas and stadiums?
I think it's the high altitude people.
It must be nosebleeds, other party favorites.
So how much of, but I mean, I think it would really be a shame if this Nets team didn't make the finals. Like, I think that would be a real, real shame. That's like
Mickey
a big
Mouse
that's
championship.
Like a, huh?
There's going to be another Mickey Mouse championship, in my opinion.
Are you putting an asterisk? You already put an asterisk on there if the Nets aren't there?
Listen, if the Nets and Lakers didn't make it this year, come on, bro.
Adam Silver,
you're under arrest.
Adam Silver under arrest. What, Zion, not to look too far ahead, but say the Nets lose. Do they need to do anything to retool this summer? Do they need major changes?
I've been saying it all year that super teams, if you look at super teams, the Heat got better after year one. They added Ray Allen and probably the roster overall. The Warriors obviously got KD. Like, these teams, these dominant teams, they only get better after they're formed. So this is going to be the weakest stage for the Nets, essentially. I don't know who they're going to get. I hope it's somebody. I hope it's a wing defender, but they're going to get somebody. They're going to prove like they have to.
And then Dame Lillard to the Lakers. That's I'm just joking. I don't know.
They don't have the salary cap. For
you said that about them last year, and look what they did.
They didn't sign a max player. They didn't add an additional max player, okay? They have zero way to add a max player without having nothing but scrubs afterwards.
You're such
so if Rob Pelinka wants to do that and then fill it out with like 15 other guys from Europe, be my guest.
Yeah, you're such a hater. We have John Rahm on this podcast, by the way. Fun conversation ahead of the U.S. Open. He had a funny suggestion for Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, how they should settle their beef. So that was fun. Before we get to that, do you guys want to comment on the spin rate in baseball going down? Your guy's Garrett Cole, big cheater.
He had a great start in his first start, sans allegedly sticky substances and foreign substances. So,
did the Yankees win that game?
They haven't won too many recently, so I think it's been a bit of a struggle. One game above 500.
Talk about Mickey Mouse, Adam. Mickey Mouse organization.
Not a Mickey Mouse organization. One of the best run organizations in all of sports and one of the most valuable. But it is very frustrating and very disappointing to watch this team with the second highest payroll in baseball struggle like a bunch of scrubs. So Young Zion shares my frustration. It is pathetic to watch on a lot of evenings.
Yeah, I don't even be watching them anymore, bro.
Oh, you're already done. You're done with them.
I don't have to watch them until it becomes more relevant. And if they're not winning by August, football NFL season, and we'll have the Olympics. So Yankees baseball.
Wait, you're looking forward to the Olympics?
So obviously, Zion, you have rooting interest because Nigeria is going to. Did Nigeria already qualify, Zion, for the Olympics?
Yeah, their basketball team.
So with the NBA starting in October, what guys are going to play for Team USA?
I saw Steph said he's 50-50.
There's going to be a lot of guys, just for the fact it's going to be a rare opportunity. Some of these guys have been off. When did the season end? A month ago?
What guys are that? I mean, I guess you're right. It's going to be like some guys who would never have a shot to play on a like stacked Team USA. They could do it. But so they should they still say we send like our C team, or should they still be considered the favorites?
I mean, they did you see them play in the World Cup a couple years ago with Jason Tatum and Joe Harris was starting on that team?
They lost, correct?
They weren't even on the medal. They didn't even get a medal.
They finished sixth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So are we really about to trot out that team again and lose?
It's going to be something like that, I think, similar to that. We may have a couple more stars, though, but like it's hard because international game is so much different. It's so much different. People don't really notice watching NBA. Like the game is so different. And people have so much chemistry playing together from other countries. USA is in trouble, but I think they'll get a couple stars. They'll get a superstar. They'll get somebody.
But I wonder
who lost in the first round.
Well, it depends on how young you want to go. Do you want John Morant on that team? Do you want Zion Williamson on that team?
I mean, Zion can do it. They're not going to let Zion play. Ja could play. Could Dame play? I mean, I don't know.
Julius Randle maybe?
He needs to redeem himself.
If we're putting our faith in Julius Randle, then like we'll come to
he needs another star or two around him. Okay, he can't be the number one guy.
Should we just send the Knicks and see how far we go? See what happens.
RJ Barrett will be playing for Team Canada.
Looks pretty stacked. I'm not gonna lie,
they got some players.
Team Canada looks pretty stacked. Andrew Wiggins gonna average 40 a game. Shots, that is, not points. Zion, I feel for you, buddy. I know you don't want sympathy, but I know it's tough. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's not over yet. It's 2-2.
2-2. Series don't start till a road team wins the game, right?
Yep.
That's it. Let's get to our John Rahm interview, unless anything you guys else want to add. Kind of a slow time in sports right now. I know everybody's watching the Euros overall, soccer. Adam, you getting into soccer right now? No?
Hell no.
Okay. Zion, you getting into soccer right now?
I mean, when I do.
Did you gamble on the Euros at all?
I put a little bit of money on Italy to win it all. I like their odds.
Okay.
I put a little, I just dabbled a little.
As I've said before, gambling on the World Cup, I've always enjoyed, but I think we're another 2 years away from a World Cup. I forget. Yeah. I want to put money on
Team USA already. I'm bought in. Pulisic.
Oh, now you're watching friendlies and other matches.
Yeah. Oh, I'm bought in.
Okay.
I'm bought in.
Where's your Team USA jersey?
I ordered a Pulisic jersey, actually, blue one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you going to get a sleeve tattoo to match his?
No, I'm not. Not yet. All right, let's get to our John Rahm interview while we process the NBA playoffs. It's a fun one.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's welcome John Rahm to the Complex Sports Podcast. This is very exciting. We haven't had a ton of golfers on the podcast, but always fun when we do. John, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chops, let's also note the last time we had a golfer on before the U.S. Open, he did go on to win the U.S. Open. So, yeah, John, true. Like, we just blessed you with an awesome luck. So, you know, just congratulations beforehand. We're doing you a solid here, but thank you again for joining us. But, yeah, we had Bryson on last August before the U.S. Open, and he went on to win. So we're giving you good vibes this time around.
Oh, it is. It is. I'm thankful to be blessed then. Appreciate it. Thank you. I was not aware of this.
Yes. Yeah, so congratulations in advance already for winning it. John, before we get into anything else, I want to talk to you about your Mercedes partnership because it's obviously a big deal. We love it. You know, we were down at the Masters with them, had a great time, got to drive a car and everything. So just, you know, what what does that mean to you? And how cool is that just to be able to say you're a Mercedes brand ambassador?
Listen, it is incredible because Mercedes is such a big brand worldwide that they truly don't necessarily at first didn't really need me. You know, when they signed me, I wasn't a big time player yet. I hadn't really done it yet. And, you know, they put their faith in me. And I always try to surround myself with brands that strive to be the best. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mercedes does. And they are the best. They do make the best cars. And they are, you know, for the most part, steps ahead of their competitors. So it's really unique to be part of that great team that, like I said, they want to be the best as bad as I want to be the best. So it's always a great way to surround yourself with. Plus, the great people and the product is amazing, right? It is, it is a blessing to be able to wake up every morning and drive a car like that and actually be something that you're representing as part as well.
Definitely.
I would say they're a step ahead when it comes to hospitality because they took care of Chops and I down at the Masters, and I hope that they were good to you also, John. I know that you also had like a lot of going on that week at Masters week because you had a child. So I should say congratulations on that.
It was. Well, I mean, I showed up. I arrived basically to the course.
The day of, Wednesday. You basically got to the course and played, yeah.
Yeah, so like I didn't really spend that much time with anybody besides my my caddy. But their hospitality, see, I haven't been to their hospitality area there just because usually we're so busy that week. Yeah. But even, you know, I get to see it. My family goes, I hear about it. So I do know they do an amazing job and they've been really, really nice to me in other events, meaning they also sponsor the tennis US Open. I'm a huge US Open fan. So I've been part of that when they've taken care of me if I wanted to go in the past and, you know, they take us to the Mercedes suite. They go above and beyond, and I don't know how it is at the Masters, but I'm amazing. I'm guessing it's pretty amazing as well.
Oh, we can tell you, it's pretty great. We had a hell of a time that week.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, John, going into this week, Torrey Pines, how are you feeling? Obviously, your best major finish, it was the U.S. Open 2019, tied for third. So, how are you feeling going into this U.S. Open right now?
Feeling confident. You know, I'm feeling really good about my game. I've been playing great lately, and we're going to a golf course that I love. We're in an area that I've always played good at, I have great memories at, and I'm hoping I can keep it going this time.
You got engaged there, what, in 2017?
I won my first event in 2017. We got engaged a year after that.
Okay, a year after. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of special memories with that course, but it's going to play a million times different because obviously U.S. Open layouts are so different than what the PGA regular tour stops are. So, I mean, you've obviously played I'm assuming you've gotten to the course already and got a chance to play it a little bit or at least, you know, kind of heard how it's laying out. I read the rough is like insanely high. We're talking 5 inches. Like, give us an idea of how difficult this course is going to be compared to what it normally plays at for a regular PGA tour stop.
So what makes Torrey Pines difficult is its length. I think it's 7,800 yards at sea level, and you have small greens with little shelves, right? It's it's tough. It's tough. Usually, you know, I've heard Tiger say, just go for the center of the green and move on. But even if you go for the center of the green, you actually have those long, tricky putts with big old slopes around it. So it's not like you can be defensive the whole day, right? It's a tough one. But for people that don't know, the rough at Torrey Pines, it's extremely thick. I mean, the blades are almost an inch wide. And imagine a thick blade with that length. It's just you can't hack it out. You know, some people might be able to move it more than others. You get lucky sometimes in the rough, but around the greens, it's a jungle. And that's going to be part of it, right? I mean, it's a U.S. Open. That's what it is. You got to – every part of the game needs to be good, and it's a mental test more than anything else. So I'm excited to see the challenge. I haven't seen it yet. Today being Monday, I'll be going today a little bit later and seeing the golf course.
I just
want to ask about, you were one of the first people to embrace Phil after that awesome PGA win, the PGA Championship win. What was that like with the crowd and just everybody there and just kind of being one of the first people to, you know, get to like congratulate him after that?
Yeah, Phil and I have a great relationship. We're good friends and he's a great mentor of mine. And to be there and witness history, you know, he did something that hadn't been done since the 1960s, right? That is unique. And when you hear all the great golfers that haven't done it, and to break that record for more than 2 years, for almost 2 years, it's pretty special. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And I've said it before, and I said it to a lot of people. I didn't think that was the best golf course and could, weather conditions that were the best for Phil to win and thrive. But
yeah,
that shows his talent, and it shows what Phil is capable of, right? I mean, he's now a six-time major champion with 45 PGA Tour wins. I mean, that's the reason why he's done what he's done. And it's silly of me to even doubt somebody like that. So it was really unique, especially, you know, with what happened on 18 with everybody coming down the fairway and it was collapsing crazy. The players. You used to see that years ago, even in the Tiger era, they've been better about holding the crowd back. But this is something you used to see in the 70s in the UK, right? With 18, everybody will just swarm the players. So I hope to keep that going, because I know it might not be what security want it, but
right,
it's one of the coolest things that you can go through as a player. And I hope I can go through that as well, because he told me about it and he couldn't even describe it how cool it was.
Well, yeah. Brooks doesn't want that again, because he got knocked in the knee when the crowd was surrounding him. So, you know, different players may have different perspective on it. Wanted to ask you, though, quickly, John, because, you know, you talk about, you know, Phil and coming into this, and he'll be obviously a crowd favorite, as he always is, and he stops, but you're coming in as the favorite. So, you know, in terms of pressure and people kind of talking about that, like everyone, you know, pegging you to finally win your first major and you being the guy this week, like, how much added pressure is that, and kind of, you know, what are the vibes you're feeling entering this week?
Well, I'm aware of it. You know, it is a golf course that I've played really good on the last 5 years. My last show win, I was playing okay. And I get that, you know, I understand why people are putting their faith in me. I get it. And I'm aware of it. It's the same reasons why I'm confident on the golf course. So I'm not thinking about being the favorite or not. I just, you know, I'm aware that, let's say, stats or data shows that I have a good chance, and I'm happy about it. But again, let's not forget all people like Phil and other players like Xander Schauffele, who live here, who have played good here in the past. And, you know, this would be Phil's chance to do the Grand Slam. So at this point, I won't put anything past the guy, honestly. but there's many other great players. So still going to be a test, still a US Open, still a fight within yourself. So I'll be worried about what I can do. But again, it's always added bonus and added motivation that people have the faith in me.
Before we get you out of here, John, I just got to ask, are you also rooting for Brooks and Bryson to be paired together this week at all?
I hope, you know, I keep seeing all this, all this influencer boxing cards. Just stick him on the boxing ring already.
That's a good idea.
You know, let's just add him on the undercard. If Logan Paul can fight the greatest boxer of all time, I think they can put them in there somewhere and just get that going. That's what I'm waiting for. I doubt they'll pair them together, but
we'd be down for that. But
if the
USGA has a shred of, like, you know, of humor, they will actually make it happen. Like, they really should make it happen. And, like, fingers crossed, it actually happens on the weekend. Because imagine those two in a major on the weekend paired together. Oh, it would be like must see TV. It'd be incredible for golf.
I would love to be a part of that. I'm not going to lie. Wait, I'd love to be watching it.
Yeah, right.
Before we let John go, we got to ask him, because he is one of the biggest hip hop heads in golf. And I talked to you years ago, John, played a few holes of golf in Rhode Island. And we talked about how you infamously, like, kind of learn English because you're from Spain, listening to Kendrick Lamar and some other guys. So you're a big hip hop guy. Who are you listening to now? You're famous for having your headphones on the putting green, listening to music, getting warmed up. Who are you bumping right now?
It goes in waves. Somebody I hadn't got into because nobody around me listened to was J. Cole. And I know, crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've been listening to a lot of J. Cole lately, especially his new stuff. So I can't believe none of my friends really listen to it, because that is one talented guy. Jesus.
They're missing out.
Yeah. So I, you know, with such a long career, I just started and you know, kind of got deep into his songs. So besides the usual stuff and what's current and what's not, I've been kind of going more into J. Cole.
That's, and I wish I could revisit J. Cole's discovery for you. I know, awesome, right? That you're getting to discover
it's so good.
Right now.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, he's got classics. John, we wish you all the luck this week. We can't wait to see you out there. Thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Best of luck.
Bye.
Shout out to John Rahm. Always good talking to some golfers, you know, a little bit out of lane, but, you know, fun. Hope he does well this week. As Adam said during the interview, last time we had a golfer on before the U.S. Open, he went and won the U.S. Open. So we're good luck.
We're very good luck. So yeah. Congratulations to John Rahm, the 2021 U.S. Open champion, his first major. Salute.
So let's get final predictions right here. Nets or Bucks game. Nets or Bucks game five. Zion already said, Zion, you said the Nets can win if KD scores 40, right?
40, 50, whatever he needs. Wait, what Jason Tatum did to us in game three, we need that out of him.
They need a Braun game six type game from KD is what Zion is saying.
And Joe Harris, make a shot. Make a shot, Joe. Come on.
We're putting a lot of pressure on young Joe Harris here. Poor guy.
He hasn't shown up in the playoffs in 2 years too.
How much money does he make?
$75 million.
Jeez, okay, yeah, he better start making some shots. Adam, do you have a prediction for the game?
Yes, I predict that when the Nets officially lose this series, that no one in the streets of Brooklyn will give a shit because there are approximately 12 legitimate Nets fans in the County of Kings. So there will be no crying, no wallowing, no people walking around like, you know, depressed zombies because no one cares about the Nets in this town.
Oh, yeah, because the Knicks losing in their series really stopped the city.
It did, actually. Crestfallen people. There were people weeping on the side of the streets, yes. Yeah, in public transportation, people just crying all over the place. It was depressing a few days after the Knicks lost.
Oh, yeah. Only person crying was Julius Randle's agent because the money he lost from...
He'll make some money. Relax.
I thought you were going to say his son.
Oh, no. I'm not a monster.
No, leave the family out of this.
Yeah, leave the family out of this. I think the Nets win. I think KD has a signature Game 6 Bron type moment, and I think that they win game five. I don't know if they win the series. I think that's TBD because anything can happen in a game seven if it gets there. When, you know, Harden, Kyrie, who knows if they're going to be playing. But I think KD goes nuclear. Huge game five. That's my prediction. Yeah.
That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think so. I think KD, you know, he's always stepped up to, you know, to the plate when needed. And I think he does it again. So it's going to be fun to watch. Fun episode, boys. Anything else to add before we get out of here?
Nope.
Oh, Zion, ask Adam what he batted over the weekend at his what you play softball, Adam?
That is incorrect. I play baseball. Hardball baseball, right? In Central Park. You can come find me in North Meadow on the weekends. Okay. The first game of the doubleheader did not go well. 0-3.
What did you bat?
0-3. I just missed a pitch, crushed it to the deep center, but it was caught. Just missed that first pitch.
It was foul.
No, it's not foul, pal. But then accounted for.
You had a foul tip.
Not even accurate. And the second game accounted for three of the six runs batted in for my team in a victory. So we split the doubleheader.
Sacrifice bunts. Three hit by pitches with the
baseball. No, pal. No.
Three fielder's choices.
No.
Three
fielders. No. I was batting cleanup in the second game. We had a blistering shot down the left field line in my first at bat to score two runs. So you can fall the fuck back.
If we don't see the footage, we're not playing.
Yeah, we need
who's
video.
Videotaping we're games in Central Park unless you're peeping tough. Goddamn Tom.
Okay. We might need a complex sports outing to Central Park to see Adam play baseball.
Inaccurate your allegations of me choking in the clutch. Come out to the North Meadow, pal.
On that note, everybody stay safe. We love y'all. Thank you for enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. And as always, a special thanks to our producers, Josh Dodd and Jasmine Plata, our audio editor, Misha Jones, our production manager, Sean Sel Correa, our talent booker, Shanice Kelman, our senior director of operations, Jen Stewart, our general manager, Donnie Kwok. This is a production of Complex Networks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.